Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. I'm Eddie, your host. You're watching The Dean Show. Every week we're here trying to enlighten the minds, lighten the hearts to a whole new understanding. You're away from the R-rated movies, you're away from all the distractions and all the things, many of them which are of no benefit. There's much benefit in watching this program because it's something that when you implement it, it's going to change your life for what? For the better. There are many issues that we cover. The issue that we're going to be talking about today, because when you're on your way to investigate what is the purpose of life, why am I here in this life? I'm going to die, and where do I go from there? You know what? Is there an ultimate truth? There's so many religions out there. How do we know? How do we decipher? What is the way of life that was revealed from the creator of the heavens and earth? How do we know with so many of them? So we're going to give you a crash course on many of the world religions that are out there. So then you can be the judge for yourself. What makes most sense and what provides the most evidence and proof that it is indeed from the one creator who created this whole universe and everything in it. So then you can live that way of life that he revealed for you to live. And then at the end, you can avoid the hellfire and you can be admitted to paradise. And that's what we're all striving for. Sit tight. We'll be right back here on The Dean Show.
This is The Dean. The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean. This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean.
This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean Show.
This is The Dean.
This is The Dean Show.
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 And I'm here with the president of the IREF, Brother Imran. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm fine, brother. How about you?
Alhamdulillah. Now, we said something in Arabic, so the people out there, they don't have to take an Arabic class. What did we just say?
We said, may the peace be unto you. That is what you addressed me. And then I said, may the peace be unto you too. And then I said, you asked me, how are you? I said, Alhamdulillah, meaning all the praises are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the cherisher and sustainers of the universe. That is what I said by saying Alhamdulillah.
Now someone says, you know what? There they go worshipping a moon god.
What
are you going to say now?
Subhanallah, inshallah. See, this is one of the biggest illogical statement anybody can give. One ayat of the Quran. Just one ayat in the Quran is enough to throw out this allegation.
That's verbatim word of God now.
Yeah, this is the verbatim word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 100% verbatim word of Allah. You see, Allah says in surah number 41, generally, surah is taken as chapter. Surah number 41, ayat number 37, Allah says, do not prostrate yourself to the sun and the moon. Do not make sajda to the sun and the moon. Neither worship them. But prostrate to your true God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and worship Him alone, the one who created both of them. That is enough. Allah is saying.
Period. Close. Case done.
Case is shut up.
So you praise. We started out praising the one God, the same God. Jesus worship, the same God. Noah, Abraham, all the messengers of God. That
Musa
one God, that's the God we're talking about.
True,
now
true.
Tell us, there's a lot of, for many people, they say confusion out there. I don't want to follow any organized religions, you know, and you know they put Islam in the buffet and they think it's all man-made. We know that man has changed a lot of the religions to suit the times. Islam is indeed how it was revealed. We have it today, tamper-free, tamper-proof. It's from the divine. But just to give people some kind of a taste from a lot of the world religions out there, a crash course, because many people don't know about them, let's start off, because Islam encourages that we do reflect, because when we see the inconsistencies, the contradictions in the man-made religions, we'll see that this is indeed, we'll appreciate Islam even more. So talk to us, give us a little bit of a course in some of these religions.
I would like to begin my session again. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulihil Kareem, wa ala alihi wa sahabihi ajma'in. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. May the peace and salutations of Allah be upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family and his male and female companions, the Sahaba Akram رضي الله تعالى عنهم أجمعين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَاحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِّسَانِي يَفْقَهُوا قَوْلِي. This last part is the dua that I always read because it's a wonderful dua, it's a beautiful dua of Musa alayhi salam when he made before giving the dawah of Islam to Fir'aun. You see, it's from Surah Taha, Surah number 20, ayat number 25, 26, 27 and 28. So Musa alayhi salam made a dua and said, "Oh my Lord, expand my breast for me, make me courageous, give me more knowledge, وَيَسِّرْلِي أَمْرِي, and make my task easy for me. وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِّسَانِي, remove any obstruction or impediment from my speech. يَفْقَهُوا قَوْلِي, and open their mind to understand what I speak." So that is a dua I always make. See, there are so many religions today on the face of the earth. There is about 6 billion human population approximately on the face of the earth. And of these 6 billion, 2.3 billion are those people who claim themselves to be Christians. And 1.2 billion are those who claim themselves as Muslims. So more than half of the world population belongs to two of these major religions.
Either one or the other, Christian or Muslim.
Muslims, yeah. Yes. More than 50% of the human population belongs to two of these major religions. The others, the third one goes Hinduism. I come from India, from Hyderabad. And my country, India, is the second largest populated country in the world after China. And our population has 80% of those people who call themselves as Hindus. And then you have Buddhists, the fourth largest group of the world religion is Buddhists. Then you have other groups like the Jews. The Jews, of course, they belong to a religion which is Semitic, which is very popular. But their number is very few compared to these major numbered religions based on the followers. Now if you check the history of these religions, you will be surprised. None of these religions have a divine origin except Islam.
None of them. That's a very bold statement.
Yeah, that's a very bold statement and it's backed by evidences.
You're going to give the evidence?
Inshallah.
All right.
You see, as I told, I come from a country called India. Back in India, Hinduism is considered to be the major most religion of the world. If you trace the word Hindu or Hinduism in any of the religious scriptures of the Hindus, whether you take the Vedas, considered by them to be the Shruti, the revealed word of God, the Hindus called Vedas, primarily four Vedas, the Rig Ved, the Athar Ved, the Yajur Ved and the Sam Ved. They call it the revelation of God. If you read the scriptures, the word Hindu or Hinduism does not come there for one single time. If you read the other books of Hinduism, the Puranas, the Upanishads, the Aranyakas, the Itihasas like the Mahabharata and the Ramayana.
What are these books you just mentioned?
The Upanishads are the interpretations of these revealed books.
So you have Hinduism, that's the religion, and these are their...
No, the Hindus, they claim that Hinduism is a religion, and they believe these scriptures to be their religious scriptures.
That's their constitution, their guidelines.
The guidelines for Hinduism.
Yeah.
The primary source for Hinduism are the Vedas. And all other books are also considered as religious books for Hinduism. You read all of them. The word Hindu and Hinduism does not occur for one single time in any of these books at all.
At all?
Not for a single time.
That these are facts again that we're given. We're going to take a break. We have to take a break to signal and we'll be right back to continue
on. Sure.
Thank you, Shay. We'll be right back here on The Deen Show.
And if we're going to worship something, I figured I might as well worship the Creator instead of any of the creations.
Now, upon investigating all the religions, I remember finding out the meaning of what Islam is, what a Muslim is. Those who surrender themselves to God is a Muslim. Those who surrender, submit to God, God's will. That is it. Islam was pure. It was just, you just pray to God, your creator.
On the outside, everything looks good. You see the $100,000 cars, you see a lot of diamonds, you see a lot of females, and they think that this is, you know, this is the life. This is like, you know, paradise right here on earth.
It's not anyone's job to go into someone's heart and change their heart. Your job is to tell people what the truth is.
And the reality of it is, while we're sitting here, while I'm sitting here constantly paying for the disease, the cure was free.
back here on the Dean Show with the president of the Islamic Research Education
Foundation. Islamic Research and Educational Foundation.
And brother prefers that I don't call him Sheikh or Mufti or Malana. He wants to be called brother. And I'm really, people respect that, and I respect that you're here with us and you're doing this wonderful work, and we're here to benefit from your knowledge. So tell us, Sheikh, can you tell, Brother Imran, can you please tell us the, as you were going, the origins about Hinduism, Hinduism.
True. Now, you see, this is one thing. The first thing is the word Hindu and Hinduism does not occur in their religious scripture for a single time. Now, apart from that, if you try to find out from where did this word Hindu or Hinduism come, so you will know that Encyclopedia of Religion and Ethics, published from the New York in the year 1699, on page number 699 of the book, it mentions that the word Hindu was used by the Muslims after their advent in India. The Hindus might disagree to this. They might say, we don't believe in Encyclopedia of Religion and Ethics. So we quote them another important source, another prominent source, that is the Encyclopedia Britannica, the new edition, volume number 20, page number 581. It says, the word Hindu was coined by the British when they were ruling India in the year 1830 to refer to the people living beyond Indus River. And that included the Muslims, the Sikhs, the Christians, and all others living beyond Indus River. Indus River falls into the north part of India. Anybody living beyond that were referred as Hindus. Again, the Hindus might say, we don't believe this, we don't want to follow it. So we quote them another prominent source, that is Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru. Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru was a born Brahmin. Brahmin in the Hindu religion is considered to be the topmost caste. It's a caste that is responsible to give the teachings, to give the injunctions about Hinduism to the remaining followers. Pandit Nehru was a pure Brahmin, a born Kashmiri Brahmin. And he wrote a beautiful book entitled Discovery of India. It's very popular back in India. In the 1983 edition of that book, published from New Delhi, on page number 72 to 74, when you read, he mentions that the word Hindu was used for the first time in an 8th century Christian era tantric book, and there it was not used religiously but was used to refer to a group of people living geographically beyond Indus River. Then if you read a book written by one of the greatest reformers of Hinduism according to the Hindus, that is Swami Vivekananda. He was the first Hindu to be invited by the American government, and he gave a talk in the American Senate in a conference, and he is very popular back in India. And Swami Vivekananda, in one of his books,
what was his name?
Swami Vivekananda.
Swami Vivekananda.
Swami Vivekananda.
Okay, I'll mess it up. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. So Swami Vivekananda, in his book Essentials of Hinduism, he mentions in that book on page number 6 and 7, he says it is a misnomer to refer us as Hindus.
It's a misnomer.
It's a misnomer. That is what he says. The reformer of Hinduism, he says, Hinduism is a misnomer to us. Instead, we shall be referred as Vedantist, meaning people who believe and follow the Vedas as the word of God. You look at this, it is very clear and obvious that the word Hindu and Hinduism are not divine terms. They are a term given to any person, any Tom, Dick and Harry living beyond Indus River. As a Muslim, I am a born Indian Muslim. I was born in Hyderabad city of India. So I am a Hindu Muslim. I am Muslim by my faith and Hindu geographically because I live beyond Indus River. If you translate this complete statement into English, it would be, I am an Indian Muslim. That is what it would mean. So Hinduism is not a religion as such. And there is no one particular law book that can guide the entire Hindus. For example, if you meet any Christian and ask, what is your law book? He would immediately refer, my book is the Bible. If you meet a Jew, he would say, my book is the Tanakh. Or he might refer to the Torah. If you meet a Muslim, unanimously, entire Muslim community, irrespective of any difference of opinion into any subject of Islam, unanimously, all Muslims on the face of the earth agree that Quran is the religious book as well as the law book for them to follow in their life. But if you meet a Hindu, it's very difficult to know which is their law book. They're divided into so many groups. According to a theory, they worship about 330 million gods and goddesses.
They worship this many...
330 million gods and goddesses.
Gods and goddesses.
Yeah, and that would mean you would have to give them 330 million different names to call them by a religion, which was impossible to happen.
What's the... We know in Islam, the main fundament, the whole thing is based on pure monotheism, worshiping the creator, not his creation, only
true,
worshiping God.
True.
What is the main teaching of Hinduism?
It's a polytheist religion. They worship different deities. They do not have a one single perfect concept of the Almighty God. They do not have it. Though the Hindu scriptures command the Hindus not to worship the idols, not to worship the images of God. If you read the primary Vedas, if you read Rig Veda, book number 1, hymn number 64, verse number 146, it clearly mentions to them. It says that the learned men of Hindus, they call the only one God by various names. Meaning the God is one, called by various names. That is what their religious scripture tells them. If you read the Yajurveda, chapter number 32, verse number 3, it says, Natasya Pratima Asti. It's a Sanskrit quotation. It's Sanskrit is the language in which the Vedas were written according to them. It says, Natasya Pratima Asti, which would mean, of him there is no image. Meaning, the God's image cannot be made. If you read the same Yajurveda, chapter number 40, verse number 9, it says, Andhatma Pavishanti Asambhuti Mupaste, which means those who worship the natural things like the sun, the moon, the stars, the trees, the snakes, the elephants, whoever worship the natural things, they are in darkness. And it continues to say.
Their own book says this.
Yeah. And it continues to say. It doesn't stop there. It continues. It says the people who worship things made by their hands are in greater darkness.
Amazing, amazing.
Amazing. If you read the Swetara Upanishad, chapter number 4, verse number 19, it again reiterates, Natasya Pratima Asti, of him there is no image. If you read the creed of Hinduism, which is in the Brahma Sutra, it says, Ikkam Braham Dutyo Naste Neh Naste Kinchan, Ikkam Braham, Ikkam One, it's a Sanskrit reference again, Ikkam One, Ikkam Braham, one creator, Dutyo, second, Naste is not there, one creator, second is not there. Nehnaste kinshin, not there at all in the least bit. If you look at these references, the Hindus have been commanded to worship only one God without making an image, without making a form of that God. But unfortunately, the modern day practicing Hindus, they worship the God by making so many images. And how many? According to the theory, it's 330 million gods and goddesses. And when you meet them, they are so confused, that they do not exactly reach the conclusion. They ask to refer to the learned men. You go to the learned men, then you go to the learned men. The learned men would say, it's the Atma, it's the Paramatma, it's the Bhagwan. But what exactly are you concluding about God? It is not there. So it's not a divine religion. It's a pure man-made religion.
We have so many more to cover because we're almost, we're short on time. What would be the next one that you want to talk to us about? The net we covered Hinduism. You gave the evidences, proofs.
Yeah, I would definitely like to speak a little bit on Judaism and Christianity. That's very important. Then finally, Islam.
Yeah.
So Judaism is, of course, a popular religion. It might not be a major religion in the terms of the number of adherents to it because it does not have the policy or the philosophy of propagating the religion or proselytizing the religion. So they are limited in number, but of course they are a popular religion of the world and of course very close to both the Muslims and the Christians. They are close on the basis of Aqidah, that is the belief that we have about Almighty God and other things. There are so many similarities between these three popular religions of the world, that is Judaism, Christianity and Islam. And I would definitely like to speak on these three religions, inshallah, maybe after the break. I think we're approaching the break.
We're going to take a break and we're right back with more here on The Dean Show.
No problem. You can take my daughter to dinner, you and my daughter and me. Let me tell you something. It's natural. That's the idea. God created it. And he created us to have a good time. Mm-hmm. We should have a good time. Only with our wives, though.
Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. And most of the converts are women, not men. They see that the rules of Islam, instead of constraining them, the rules set them free.
The one who protects us from hunger.
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone.
If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Back here on the Dean Show, and we were talking about Hinduism. You covered that, covered the core teachings, and proved that it doesn't come from the divine. But in there, it does have the call to only worship one God, without any images, without any carving from your own hands, statues, only worship the Creator. That's what Islam teaches. We're moving along to Judaism and Christianity. Please go ahead.
See, the world religions have been broadly categorized as Semitic and non-Semitic religions. Semitic religions, basically there are three major or popular religions in the Semitic religions. Semitic religions are said to be the religions followed by the descendants of Shem. And Shem, according to the Bible, is supposed to be one of the sons of Noah, may peace be upon him. The commonality between the Semitic religions, all these three Semitic religions, Judaism, Christianity and Islam, is all these three religions claim to be monotheistic. All these three religions believe that God does not incarnate. All these three religions basically believe that God sent prophets on earth to guide the people at different times. All the three religions commonly believe that the first human being was not evolved but created by the Almighty God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that was Adam, may peace be upon him. In the Quran, he is referred as Adam alayhi salam, and his wife Hawa alayhi salam, referred in the Ahadith and in the Bible too.
You mentioned the three, Judaism, Christianity, Islam. Yeah. These are the Semitic.
These are the three Semitic religions believing these things to be common. Now coming to the history, but if you see the history again, Judaism does not occur as a term given by the Almighty God for the followers of the said concepts that we have today in the religion of Jews.
So you're saying that the Creator of the heavens and earth, you're going to back this up.
True.
He didn't say, okay, I'm calling your religion, I'm going to call you Jews or Judaism.
Jew or your concept as
God
Judaism.
Didn't coin this.
No, absolutely not. God didn't term it.
In fact,
if you read the entire Tanakh, Tanakh, the Torah, the Nevi'im and the Ketuvim, these considered to be the religious books of the Jews.
What are they again?
The Tanakh.
Tanakh?
Tanakh is a compilation of three basic books.
Okay.
The Torah, which are the first five books of the Holy Bible of the Christians too, of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy.
The first five.
The first five books, the Pentateuch, which is popularly referred as.
They go by this.
Yeah, they too refer it as the Torah given to Musa alayhi salam. The Christians agree with them on this part. And apart from that, the Jews believe in Nevi'im and Ketuvim. Nevi'im are the books of the prophets. Ketuvim are the books of the historians. And all these three have been compiled together in the form of Tanakh. That is what they refer to, the Holy Scripture.
Okay.
Apart from that, you have the Talmud and the Mishnah.
Yeah.
These are other interpretations of the Oral Torah.
Gotcha.
When you read all of them, there is not a single place where it is mentioned that the God referred to them as Jews or the concept of their belief as Judaism. In fact, in the Bible, they have been referred as the children of Israel.
Children of Israel.
Yeah. That in the Quran too, we know as Bani Israel, the children of Israel. And Israel, according to the book of Genesis, chapter number 32, verse number 24 to 30, is a name given as a title to Jacob, the son of Ishaq alayhi salam, the second son of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Abraham may peace be upon him. Isaac was the second son, Ismail alayhi salam was the first son. And if you read the book of Genesis, chapter number 32, verse number 24 to verse number 30, there Jacob, he has a wrestling. He wrestles with the Almighty God or the angels of God.
This is in the Bible.
This is in the Bible. Book of Genesis, chapter number 32, verse number 24 to verse number 30 when you read it. And he was so strong that God could not overpower him or the angel of God could not overpower him. So after that, before leaving, he was said, from now on, you shall not be referred as Jacob anymore. Instead, you shall be called Israel. Israel is a Hebrew word. El means God. Isra means the servant. Israel, the servant of God, the servant of the cherisher. In Arabic, it is Abdullah. So this was a term given to him. He had several children. He had 12 children, and they were called the Bani Israel, the children of Israel. And that is what the term carries on in the entire Bible. The word Judaism does not occur there for a single time. Believe me, as long as Musa alayhi salam lived on the earth, Moses may peace be upon him, as long as he lived, his death is mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 34. Till then, he never heard the term Judaism.
Moses never called himself
never.
A Jew, or he absolutely not.
He never heard this term Judaism.
It was the children of Israel.
They were the children of Israel.
Gotcha.
That is how it was. And the theory about the word Jew being coined is amazing. According to a theory, it's based on the kingdom of Judah, one of the children of Isaac, one of the 12 tribes of the Bani Israel, the kingdom of Judah. It is from this Judah that the term came. But according to another theory, it comes from the book of Genesis, chapter number 37, verse number 6 to verse number 30, where a prophet by the name Judah, he has illegal sexual intercourse with his own daughter-in-law, and he begets children from her. But still he is revered, living in a place called Judea. So the people who revered him were the Jews, and the concept they followed was Judaism. This is another theory. But the exact history of the term is unknown. Officially today, the word Jew is referred to any person who practices Judaism and who believes in the Torah or the Tanakh or the Talmud and the Mishnah. That is how it would go today. Coming to Christianity again.
Now, so we got this out of the way. You show that it wasn't...
It's not a divine term given.
It's not.
It's not a term appointed by the Almighty God.
Let's go to Christianity.
Christianity, again, wonderful. If you read the entire Holy Bible, the Catholic Bible, the Protestant Bible, the Bible with 76 books, the Bible with 73 books, the Bible with 66 books, the Bible with 87 books, the Bible with 81 books, you read any Bible of the world, you read all the Bibles of the world, the word Christianity does not occur for one single time. It does not occur for one single time. The word Christian occurs three times in the Bible. And those three times the word occurs in the Bible is used only after the ascension of Jesus Christ, may peace be upon him. As long as Jesus Christ, may peace be upon him, lived on this earth, he never heard the term Christ. He never heard the term Christian. He never heard the term Christianity. He never heard it. If you read the Bible, the New Testament, in the book of Acts, chapter number 11, verse number 26, in the book of Acts, chapter number 26, verse number 28, and in the First Peter, chapter number 4, verse number 16, the word Christian is used. And Saint Paul, he, after teaching his disciples for 1 year at a place called Antioch, he called his disciples and said, "Ye are Christians from now." This term is not a divine term. Coming to Islam, it's the only religion on the face of the earth where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a term to the concept. Allah said, "Inna deena indallahi al-Islam." The only way of life for you is Islam. I began my talk by reciting that ayat from Surah Ali Imran, Surah number 3, ayat number 19. I recited another ayat from Surah Ali Imran, Surah number 3, ayat number 85. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Whoever will come with any concept of life, any way of life except Islam in hereafter, it will never be accepted from him or her, and they shall be the losers in hereafter. The term Islam has been given to this concept. Believe me, if we meet Adam, may peace be upon him, on the day of judgment, if we meet Moses, may peace be upon him, on the day of judgment, if we meet Jesus Christ, may peace be upon him, on the day of judgment, and if we ask them, what was your concept of life? They would say, our concept of life was to submit our will peacefully to the will of Almighty God who sent us. And this statement in English, to submit our will peacefully, surrender our will peacefully to the will of Almighty God, is nothing but the way of Islam.
That's Islam. One word.
Islam means the submission of your will peacefully to the will of Almighty God. That is what every prophet of God did. So they were Muslims. All of them were Muslims. Any man or woman who submit their will to the will of God, we are Muslims because we have agreed to submit our will to the will of God, the glorious Quran, the Holy Quran, Al-Kareem. We have promised to submit our will there. Therefore, we are Muslims by doing that.
This is amazing. So you prove that these religions did not have that coming from the divine. It was something of a geographical location, as in Hinduism.
True.
And one theory is
either in reverence,
yeah,
or a geographical location, nothing more than that.
Christianity after Christ, Judaism after Judah, or the other theory that was there, but God Almighty didn't authorize this, but True. He did authorize submission, Islam, submission to the one God, True. And this is what all the prophets did. It makes True. Sense. It
true.
Makes a lot of sense.
True, true. And that is what Allah says in Surah Ra'd, Surah number 13, ayat number 7, Surah Nahl, Surah number 16, ayat number 36, Surah Fatir, Surah number 35, ayat number 24, that we sent prophets to all the communities on earth to guide them to Islam.
And they came with the same mission.
Same message.
One
same
God.
Message.
Worship that God alone, not His creation.
See, the fundamentals in a school will never change. What you are taught in the first standard, it develops in the 10th standard. What was taught to Adam alayhi salam, Adam alayhi salam. Adam, peace be upon him. The same fundamental remains with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the other ways of life, the way to practice them, it developed with the coming of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Thank you very much. We're out of time.
Jazakallah khair.
We'll have you back, inshallah, Jazakallah next time. May God Almighty Allah reward you.
Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. And thank you for being with us here on the Deen Show. We got to clear up some of the confusion. That person that is seeking the truth, all you got to do is want it and then ask for it. I can't guide you. The one who can guide you, the one who created you, but you got to want the guidance. Seek it earnestly. Ask God Almighty alone to guide you, and He will put you on the straight path. But you got to ask. You got to put all these other distractions on hold, put it to the side, and realize that there is a purpose in life. There is something that you need to be doing in this life. And who best to tell you than the one who created you? There's a paradise and there's a hellfire. We want to avoid the hellfire and we want to get to paradise. So we want to prepare for the day of judgment. And this is what all the messengers of God, they taught, brought, and they warned the people. They gave them the good news and the glad tidings of paradise if you do good and you pass the test in this life. So don't get caught by surprise when death hits you. Be ready for that moment. And the best way to be ready is by doing God's will, by doing Islam. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be unto you.
In every individual there comes a day where they need to take a second just to contemplate about life. Man, I wonder why. Am I living it just to die? My heart's beating, I'm breathing, my days decreasing. God, please hear me and give me the reason why you brought me in this life. The truth I won't deny.
Sometimes it gets so depressed, I'm stressed. No control of my soul, like a hole in my chest. Can't sleep at night, so I drive out to the open. Watch the stars while I listen to the ocean.